2 Kings chapter 9. This is the account of how Jehu is raised up to kill the king of Israel, the 10 tribes, Joram, and how whilst he's doing that, he kills Ahaziah, the king of Judah. So, verse 16. Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Well, when they hear that Jehu is coming to see them, and he's riding furiously, they go out to meet him. Verse 21, Joram said, "Get ready." They got his chariot ready. Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu. It's really emphasized, isn't it, that these two kings go together. And it was really because of doing that that Ahaziah, king of Judah, gets killed. Because Jehu kills Joram, and then, verse 27, when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled. But Jehu followed after him and said, "Strike him also." And they struck him, and he eventually dies. Well, the comment of 2 Chronicles 22, verse 7, is, "Now the destruction of Ahaziah was of God, and that he went to Joram." And this is a massive theme, that the more righteous kings of Judah at times suffer judgment because of their friendship with the wicked kings of Israel, the 10 tribes. And what are we to make of this? First of all, you need to note that these people were not, it's not like Jew and Gentile, believer and unbeliever. It's a case of a division amongst God's people. And yes, the kings of Judah generally were far more pro the worship of Yahweh than the kings of the 10 tribes. That's true. And let's start with how this is misunderstood. It's misunderstood to mean that if there's any others within the people of God, amongst the children of God, the new Israel, whom you consider to be apostate, you better keep away from them, or else you will share in their judgment. And that mentality, taken to its logical conclusion, means that you will keep on dividing, subdividing, keeping away from this one, that one, and the other one, until eventually you're left just with yourself. As the old joke says, you know, the old guy who's done that all his life with his wife, and you come around and see him, and he says, "Oh, you know, I separated from this one, that one, the other one, and I'm not sure about my wife, you know, these days." And that's how it is. You will end up absolutely alone. Now, God presents himself all through the historical record as the God of Israel, as well as of the God of Judah. He clearly saw them as his people, although the 10 tribes were very deeply compromised and very deeply involved in idolatry. They had all manner of false theology, all manner of false behavior. And yet God still accepted them to some degree as his people. So I don't think it's right to separate from people within the body of believers because they got something wrong, even if they got major things wrong like the 10 tribes did. And yet what you do see here is that by being in with them and being involved with them, you will end up suffering their judgment. And as Chronicles says, the destruction of Ahaziah was in that he went to Joram. So, in the New Testament, we're told, don't fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, don't do what those people do. But on the other pole, you have Jesus eating, sharing his table, breaking his bread with prostitutes and sinners, and the right-wingers saying, "What are you doing, breaking your bread with those people?" And he said, "Well, I'm a doctor, and I came to call the sick. I came to call sinners to repentance and to heal the sick, not those who think they have no need of a doctor." So clearly, Jesus was not at all fazed by any concept of guilt by association, or, as I was brought up to think, contamination by communion. There is no guilt by association in that sense. you are inextricably part of God's people. You think of Ezra, Daniel, praying to God, saying, we have sinned, we have done wickedly, etc. And Ezra saying, I blush. How about that? I blush to lift up my face to God because of the sins of my people. Not that he personally was guilty. And so you cannot ultimately divide yourself from the people of God. What you are not to do is to do what they do. To put it in sort of modern terms, you may go down to the pub to genuinely try to witness to and preach to your workmates, but you are not to do the things that they do down the pub. And so there is no guilt by association, and yet it is also true, as Paul puts it, that bad company corrupts good habits, and that is absolutely so. Haven't we all seen otherwise good people, especially young people, getting in with the wrong crowd, and they are just led away by that wrong crowd? But that is in terms of behavior. That is in terms of behavior. There is no actual idea that because, for example, I break bread with you, therefore your sins, or what are the point, my sins are therefore your sins, or your sins are my sins, or whatever. It doesn't go like that. We are not judged in terms of whom we associate with in that sense, in sort of external terms. And I think that that needs to be understood, that we have a totally personal relationship with God and the Lord Jesus. You remember how the Lord Jesus, when he's writing the letters to the apostate churches in Revelation 2 and 3, he commends some of the faithful and says, you will walk with me in white, even though they were living in churches which were deeply mixed up with idolatry, prostitution, and all sorts of things that are totally inappropriate. So there is no guilt by association, and yet bad company corrupts good habits, as Paul says. There's a lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs about this. Don't go with an angry man. Don't forget Solomon is writing to Israel, and he's not saying, you know, make a division. He is saying, just be wise as to whom you mix with, and be wise as to not being led into the sin which they are doing. There's a lot of that in Proverbs. But there is no teaching anywhere about, well, therefore, pull up your tent pegs and clear off and start your own story and start your own whatever. And that's why there's so many zillions of denominations and fellowships and exclusive little groups all over the world. Because of intolerance. Now, fortunately, God has not treated you and I like that. He has, if you like, fellowshipped with us in our weakness of understanding, in our wrong behavior, etc., our wrong theology at times in our lives, in order to lead us somewhere higher. He does not at all thereby consent that our behavior or our belief system or whatever was okay. And that is what we've got to reflect in our attitude to others.